That's 4 points. Damn, I don't even got no cash on it, man. I'm trying to get ice cream real quick. They got the non-dairy ice cream on there, too, with the truck. Damn. Damn. You know how I would have cash? If you donate $3, $4, $5 to the podcast, maybe I can get an ice cream. But I put all my money into recording the podcast. So maybe I'll get my return on my investment, be able to buy ice cream. But until then, I need you to donate. Cash App, MPC, 1334, dollar sign in front. Once again, Cash App, dollar sign, MPC, 1334. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. And my Corleone. Getting on. What's going on, good people? You know who it is. I just want to remind everybody before I get into the episode that if you don't make donations, that's cool. All I ask is just listen to the commercial so I can get paid. That's all. It only takes some 60 seconds of your time. So just listen to the commercials. Lower the volume if you had to, you know. Make sure I get paid. Don't you want to see me get paid? Alright then. Also, make sure you hit subscribe. Hit that thumbs up. No matter where you're listening to this at, on what platform. No matter if it's Spotify, Apple, whatever. Just make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe.
You have to understand share how things are up here.
Go to the socials, beatsbythekilo.com.
Understand how things are up here.
Now let's get into this episode.
You have to understand how things
What's
are
going
up
on,
here.
Good people? I'm here to tell you that if you have a business and you need flyers or business cards printed up, hit up CLC Novelty Printing and Graphic Design at 215-436-3725. Once again, if you need anything printed up, from coffee mugs with your own picture and your own graphic design on there, you know, yeah, they hook it up for real. Them graphic designs, they do 3 revisions, so if you don't like the first one that they make for you, as far as the picture, then they'll do 1 revision for you. If you don't like that, they'll do another revision for you. And you can tell them, I don't like this, can you move this over there and do this? And if you don't like that, you get 1 more revision. So it's like, you're gonna get what you want, because and they're going
to
show you the picture before they even press print. So
you have to understand how things are up here.
It's a win-win situation all around the board. So, and they got the cheap prices right now. You can get what? How many? 100 business cards for $30? Whoa! For 2 big coffee mugs for $40? Printed. Oh, yeah. I let them know right now. Yeah, they just told me they got 100 business cards for $30. For $30. 100 business cards. We ain't talking about no cheap, flimsy business cards. We're talking about top of the line business cards. And the flyers, you handing out things door to door
up here
that are printed on things that look, it looks like toilet paper, like you printed it on toilet paper. That flimsy thing, soon as it, if it starts drizzling, them Jones is going to man, if you don't step it up and go to CLC Novelty Printing and Graphic Design, come on, man. Step your game up. Make your business look right. Go on my page, see designs, and choose for yourself. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. CLC Novelty Designs and Graphic Printing. We're co-signing. Get in on 215-436-3727.
You have to understand how things are up here.
He knows, she knows, he's got a kilo.
You have to understand how things are up here.
One, two, one, two. Check, check, one, two, one, two. Check, check, one, two. What's going on, good people? You know what it is. It's your boy, M.I. Corleone, a.k.a. Mr. Charlie 20 Hustles. I do what I do like I'm doing it for TV. But, it's a Learn As You Grow podcast, and, I'm just messing around a little bit. It, took me a while to get this thing started, but hopefully, everything is recorded right and everything turns out good. I'm sure between the three, one of them is going to work. So, alright, let me pop open this Red Bull. We got a lot to talk about. Now, a lot of people don't know my story. They don't know where I come from. They don't know, where I've been. So, I feel like on this season, it's only right that I kick it off with letting everybody know where I come from. First off, my mom and my dad come from South Philly, the Grays Ferry section, 29th Street to be exact. And my dad's dad, my grandfather, died when he was 6. And my mom, didn't witness, but she, when her brother was killed on 29th in Oakford when she was 13, she was at the scene and she had to run and tell my grandma that, you know, my Uncle Franny was hit. He died from the wounds, and, so, that's how my mom and dad's life starts out. So, they meet on the basketball court, of course, in the park. My mom has my sister when she's 15. Actually, a week before her 16th birthday, but nonetheless, when she gave birth, she was 15. My mom comes from, you know, a broken home. Her dad, my grandfather, was an alcoholic. Lived in an abandoned house. Right around the corner. And, you know, when my mom would see him, it would be at the abandoned house. But I do have memories of him coming to the house and my dad not wanting to answer. And I don't know why. And I must have been too loud. And, you know, he must have knew we were in there. He must have heard. And they had to answer, you know, pretty much had to answer the door. So, I remember he bought me my first cap gun. That's really all they sold down the corner store at that time. At that time, the Chinese weren't at the corner store. This had to be like 89, I'm an OJ, young OJ. I was born 85. April 30th, to be exact. Shout out to Lloyd Banks. We share the same birthday. But my mom and dad always persevered. My dad got a job when he was 12 years old and had to give his check to his mom. Some kids can't fathom that. I can't fathom that. Having to work at 12 years old and give your check to moms and she breaks you off. Yeah. Go ahead. And that's how it was back then. His three brothers, my dad got three brothers. And two of them are twins. They were RIP. My Uncle Richie and Robbie. They were crazy. They called them the Twinos. My family was Irish, crazy, just off the wall, but great people. What would that be? Third or fourth generation from Ireland. My people came here in 1894. As soon as they got off the boat, starving. You can look into that history of what was happening in Ireland at the time. But they come from Letterkelly, Ireland, which is it's kind of like the middle of Ireland. So I can imagine there was some tension with them being Catholic. And yeah, I can imagine some tension was there, and I don't want to get too deep into that. So, my sister's born, my mom's 15, pretty much, my mom, you know, my dad's mom was like, just give me the baby. You know how it is in the hood, if you're from the hood, you know, you have a baby, you know, girl, you don't know, give me this kid, go play somewhere. And that's how it was, but my mom still wound up getting her high school diploma. My father got his high school diploma from St. John Newman. None of my other uncle, well, matter of fact, my Uncle Joseph graduated. He played basketball at Newman. And it was different back then, I guess, with what they were going through and what we're going through. They were in the struggle for real. You see, the Irish folks aren't too far behind as far as everything goes in this country. As far as being last in line. You know, we didn't come settle here. You know, we were shipped here after the fact. You know, we didn't come here and claim any land or anything, like fight no Indians. We came here hit, dead broke, starving, and joined the military, because as soon as you got off the boat, they knew It was the Irish boat coming in. Let's get these boys signed up for the military. World War One. Yeah. So, with that being said, I went and traced everything back. For a time, my great grandfather, he lived at a spot on Lancaster Ave. It's like a Roman house. You could tell he probably lived there when he first, got here, got to the military, got settled, and actually got his first place. And then he came up and somehow he persevered. And just like my mom and dad, and just like my grandparents and my grandfather, like I said, was an alcoholic. My other grandfather died. My dad was 6. I don't know how he died. Always curious though, the wonder. A lot of heart attacks were going on around that time. I'm real curious to wonder how they dealt with prohibition and all that. Because alcoholism wasn't a thing back then. It wasn't heard of. If you were addicted to alcohol and like you were having withdrawals, like you were insane. You're going to the insane asylum. Like they're gonna do some electric shock therapy on you to see if that'll help. Because they had no idea how to treat this thing called alcoholism. And my grandmother, like many grandmothers of people my age, I seen when I cleaned up the house, I seen that she was taking alprazolam, and that is a form of Xanax. It's the main ingredient in Xanax. And back then it was promoted as like, this is the drug for housewives. It makes you feel, the commercial would be, pretty much. They promoted it to be like a wonder drug. All housewives, just go to your doctor and, are you feeling depressed? Bills piling up. Take this and you'll feel fine. And a lot of grandmothers fell for that brochure. Big Pharma, I guess that was the beginning of them capitalizing over here in America. So you got alcoholism, you got pills coming into play, and then my first memory back when I was a child, my mom told me that seeing her mom like that, that was her goal for her generation. Like, everybody in the hood, like, I can't wait to turn 18 so I can go to the doctor and get my joint. Like, and that's how it was. For a long time. And it still is. And my mom fell victim to drugs. And I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, when I was in kindergarten, I remember moving. First son happened anyway. I got into, I don't even know, like, my mom, she didn't show up a couple of days when, you know, school was letting out. And I remember somebody else's mom grabbed me, you know, I'm the last one left. And, yeah, man, it was hard. But mom got through when she moved to New Jersey, and she pretty much just divorced my father. Was with another man, I remember seeing a lot of that go on. Wondering, like, yo, who's this dude, you know, with my mom, a lot of that, and then finally, my dad finding out, and I remember my dad moving down the street back to his, mom's house, and what I was born into was crazy, because when my mom was pregnant with me, my dad was at work and, you know, getting money right. Second kid was about to be born. And not even 30 days before I was born, he gets a call while he's at work that there's an emergency, a family emergency. He needs to hurry up and get home. He's thinking it's his first son being born. So he's high-fiving his co-workers, you know, happy, probably in the car with the radio on, just probably singing every song if I know him. And he pulled up to the block, and he could tell it wasn't what he thought it was, by the look on everybody's face when they were standing on the porch. And they told him that his mom died. And I don't know how he dealt with that, going from, like, being that high emotionally, like, to just, like, bam! Hitting that brick wall. But if he's anything like me, then he probably got a drink and tried to be there for his brothers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know that scene. I was told that scene plenty times. Only when my dad is drunk can he really tell that story. in debt. And now back to alcoholism. My grandma had a heart attack, and that's the grandma who was on the Alprazolam. She wasn't an addict. You know, it wasn't like she was running the streets. Nah, the doctors were, it was prescribed. So, a lot of people were having heart attacks around that time. You know, they were doing speed with downers and all different types of pills that were coming out. And
you have to understand how things are up here.
She had a heart attack at a young age. Probably not thinking of it.
You have to understand how things are up here.
My sister was almost 8 years old. She was 7 and a half. And like I said, all she knew was my grandma. Out of place at that point. My mom was falling deeper in the drugs, and my dad had to work. And, you know, my dad bought a house, and it was on the same block. And I remember drinking. My mom moved to Jersey. The guy that she started going out with was on pills and speed. And eventually, his Percocet habit from when he was working at the graduate hospital. But he was somehow forging scripts of Percocets, the equivalent to Percocets at that time. And he caught opiate habit. And my mom, I guess, didn't know what to do. Somebody with an opiate habit, I don't know that situation. I know that only thing my mom really knew was my dad, because she was with him since such a young age, and it was the 80s in Philadelphia. And if anybody knows anything about the 80s in Philadelphia, it was wild. But that's it. My story. So I'm born into this. So I'm thinking my dad's probably in a crazy depression. My mom's not sticking to the vows that she took. Now my dad has to find out that that had to be a blow. I heard somewhere before that when a man cheats, it's, you know, for a woman, it's terrible. But when a woman cheats on a man, devastating. I unfortunately don't really know
situation to where it goes. I was with somebody, like, I didn't care enough. Maybe I cared, but it wasn't enough to be, like, devastated. But, when you're mad at this, it's a whole nother ballgame, so.
You have to understand how things are up here.
My mom gets to have, she has a problem, and my whole family on my mom's side moved to Jersey. They got away. My uncle was killed in 76. By 89, my mom was the last one, and the whole family was gone. They moved over to Jersey. They were tired of the hood. They worked their way out. And my mom moved in with my aunt and uncle. And me, my sister, and my mom shared a room. Not a one-bedroom apartment, but we shared a room. Bunk beds, and my mom's bed was right there. And like I said, my sister was 13. I'm 5. She's 8 years older than me, so she's in middle school on a bunk bed with her 5 and 6 year old brother and her mom right there. Like, after she was just in the house with her own room and all this, so I never really thought of that, how that really, like, affected her at that age. Because for me, it was like 5 years old. All right, now this is kind of like, oh, I know. All right, we're in this room. And when I go to my dad's house is big, but it's kind of scary. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you would hear things, because, of course, it's a row house, so you would hear people next door and all. So when you're young, you hear noises in the room, so you don't even care about your own room at that point. But for her, it had to be something else. She was starting to date and everything, so it had to be something for her. But for me, it was all I knew. But I remember we stayed there until I was in middle school. And being on a bunk bed at that time, wow, my sister must have been graduating high school. Yeah, and I was going in the sixth grade. And my mom was on the bus coming from work. She was working at JCPenney's. You know, she was with this guy still, but he lived with his mom in Philly on 28th and Tasker. And that was that. He would come over all the time and sleep over. So now on the weekends, it'll be 4 people in the room, but most of the time we went to Philly on the weekends. It'll be a couple weekends that we stayed, but I didn't never really want, I always wanted to go to Philly. And you know, my mom would kind of push that too, because she would need a break, you know. Her and her man would, I guess, had the room, whatever. Now, I remember with music coming into my life, I was, the first time, like, I really remember listening to anything, like, and really, like, wow, this is crazy. And I hate to say it, but I don't care, because The beat is fire, and the song is alright if you listen to it. But Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, that was it. I remember me and my uncles, I'm gonna say my cousin Danny. Shout out Danny. You know who you are. My homie, this is a young boy. It was me and him, and I stole the tape from my sister when she went out to go play. And this is when my dad was still living with me. Somehow I was down that house, down my grandma's old house where she lived. And when she died, my uncles stayed there. And my Uncle Richie stayed there. And I remember just rewinding it and just nonstop listening to that. And then the next thing I remember is my sister always having the house, because now we would go to my dad's on the weekends, but my dad would be working all week. He's trying to party on the weekends, you know. My mom got a new dude. He's trying to bag something. Like, he's trying to throw it in her face. You know what I mean? He's getting the bread, but he never got into a real relationship after that. And I wonder if that trickles down to me. You hear my story. I'm 37, no kids. Been in relationships and learned a lot. But within this last little bit of time, I just been focused on me so much to where as though it'd be selfish for me at that point anyway to be in a relationship. Like, from 2018, even 17, to 2000, to right now. Right now, I'm finally kind of where I would want to be, getting into a relationship as far as financially, as far as what I'm building, as far as all the businesses I got from the printing company to the media company. I just throw everything at the wall and see how it's going to stick. And to the music, I can't wait to put it out, but that's a whole nother story. Now, my dad wanted to go out on the weekends. So, my sister is 14, 15. He's paying her to watch me. So, she's bringing all her girlfriends over. I'm allowed to have a couple friends over. And, you know, there is a house party out of nowhere. And the whole 29th Street is in there. And, you know, this is around 92, 93, when Snoop and Dre came out with the Chronic. I remember Nothing But a G Thing came out on the box, on the video, and it'd just play all day long. But I remember that I liked Eazy-E, the Real Compton City G's. I liked that better. I would say the real version, but, you know, I don't want to even mess with YouTube or nothing. I'm trying to stop cursing anyway. But, yeah, I liked Eazy-E better at that time. But then the Chronic album came out, and it was a whole different story. I liked Eazy. Because had the Bone Thugs tape. My sister had the Bone Thugs tape. If anybody remembers the first Bone Thugs in Harmony tape, with For the Love of Money, before the Crossroads came out. This was years before the Crossroads came out. For the Love of Money, and you know, what's the other John? Oh man, whatever. I can't even think. My mind's going blank. But I remember just listening to the Chronic, and I was 8 years old, and being so young, I knew that I was going to smoke weed before I even ever smoked weed. Just by my sister and them smoking, and you know, I just watching that, watching Snoop and Dre and listening to it, listening to the Dubsack Pyramid skit and all that, like, it was something that I knew I was going to do, just like a lot of people at that time who were of age were influenced to start smoking weed. And a lot of people got locked up. And a lot of people start smoking weed. Then they start smoking crack and or doing whatever, popping pills. And then I started to get older. Seventh grade, I'm still in Jersey going to school. My mom finally got her own apartment at that time. Now, I found out where I can get weed at, right around the corner. So now, I'm 13, spending all my money on weed. It was crazy, and my dad, I guess, was such in a blur while I was there, as far as going out on the weekends, and because he'd pick us up right after school on Friday and bring us home, you know, Monday morning, drop us off at school or whatever, and in Jersey, and he would drink Friday night and Saturday night, and Sunday night would be our like chill night. So a lot of time for me was spent, even Sundays a lot, he would drink during football season. And they had a private club called the Arcadia Club on 28th and Dickinson, members only club. And I used to be in there with my dad, and I would be watching them play pool, or I thought that was normal, like kids being in the bar. I really thought that was normal. It was when, like, I got in my 20s that I realized, like, yo, that's not normal. a kid shouldn't be in the bar all the time. Not knocking my pop. I love my pop. Just bad choice, cause I'm watching them go and smoke in the back and all that, you know, and it's just, I was seeing everything that was going on, from people taking bets to just everything that was going on, to who the crackheads in the streets were. Like, I knew too much too early, and I wasn't trained properly to know all this and be out there with the lions and all that, you know. A lot of people see, like, my mom wasn't there, so it'd be my pop at the bars, no guidance, just like out there. And, you know, a lot of people had their moms or whatever, and they kind of have them on a leash. I didn't have no leash. When people say off the porch, I don't remember ever being, well, nah, I do. When I was playing, like, Ghostbusters and all that, around that time, when Ghostbusters came out, I was born in 85, and around the time Ghostbusters was slamming, that's the time where I had to be on the porch. But after that, probably like 6, 7, nah, I was off the porch, and around the corner. Crazy stuff. Going to University of Penn, I thought at that time was just a place where you go and rob people. That's what I thought. As crazy as it seems, I thought that was a place where you go and rob bikes, and rob, like, the football players while they were practicing and stuff of that nature. And because this is what the kids around the neighborhood that I was growing with were doing. It was just normal. And I was following along with the crowd. And like I said, I didn't have that anybody to really teach me to be a lion. But what my mom instilled in me was not to be racist. And that's a whole nother story, because her brother was actually killed behind racism, but that's just a whole nother story for a whole nother time. And go back to the other episodes and you'll hear it. But definitely on the YouTube, Strictly Facts and all that. I want to take a second to promote BeatsByTheKilo.com. Right now, I'm about to just start flooding nonstop beats. I'm just putting them all out. Just, that's what I plan to do anyway. I plan to take my time with things and really learn my craft and not just throw something together and put it out. Every song, every beat that I have has a reference track with it. I'm an MC at heart. I started rapping before I was 11. I was rapping other people's lyrics, like AZ. Like, who was rapping AZ when they was young? Like, I'm 10 years old, and I know the whole More Money, More Murder, More Homicide with him and Nas by heart. Who knows that? Like, crazy. But I'm really a hip-hop head. I was born in the hip-hop. It's all I know. My worst times, the only thing I had was hip-hop in my head. Incarcerated, I had hip-hop. Homeless, I had hip-hop. No matter what, addiction, I had hip-hop. Sober, I had hip-hop. Don't matter, I have hip-hop. And that's the only thing that always remained a constant in my life. And I don't know if that's a sad thing. It's not the only thing that, you know. Nah, it is. It is. It's the only thing that remained constant in my life. Never turned their back on me. But I just gotta tell my truth. I love my mom, I love my dad, and I just had to let people know how I was brought up. So now, 13, I'm just a little weed head. I'm nonstop. I remember having an Altoid, just full of joints and like dookie roll joints, like double roll, because I couldn't roll, just all kind of paper. Oh man, terrible. And in Jersey, it was frowned upon more. The kids weren't in 6th and 7th grade smoking yet. They waited till they got in high school. Seventh grade, I smoke a blunt to the head at the bus stop. Get on the school bus. The whole school bus draws on me. Well, they just draw, period. And they know it's me. They know it's my crazy ass. I mean, the kid that was in the back, always writing raps and stuff, talking to girls. But, I go in the homeroom. It was cool. Got through it. I was skitzing. Bad. Go in the first period. And it was a new teacher, too. It was crazy. It was a new teacher. I wish I knew her name. But I don't, and I remember her saying that, you know, she was from Philly, you know, cause you know, we were all introducing ourselves and, you know, me, I'm from Philly. I'm, you know, I brought Philly attitude to Jersey and they didn't really like that too much. So she was hip. And I had her first period. If I would have had her like after lunch, I think I'd have been good. Because it wore off by then. But first period, I had her, and it was a wrap. Sent me to the principal's office. Called Maz up. Had to go to a hospital to give a blood test and all this, and it's my time to be out. And on that note, we're gonna have part 2 next time, and it's a good place to finish it. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast, M.I. Corleone. I hope everybody donates a little sign. Just a little sign. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. Maybe. I'm out on that note. Getting though, it's your boy. I do everything myself too, man. So if you watch this whole thing, if you were entertained by it, throw me a dollar. Let me get a dollar. I'm homeless. Let me get a dollar. Shout out to everybody that's homeless too. Just listen. I used to listen to podcasts when I was home.